Malevolent?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait. Yes, I think so.
He fought his
Don't
brother, or the fake brother.
if I. I don't know if I watched that.
Okay, you probably did.
What
It's
was the
fine.
last thing that happened? He just fought a
Last thing
brother?
that he powered up again.
Who? Hugo or Yoma?
Yeah, Hugo got a burst of energy to stand up and fight some more because everybody was like, "You don't fight for your hatred of us, you or for like spirits. You fight because you made a vow to protect what's her name?" And he was like,
Ozone.
"You're right." And then he just stood up and his thing started to glow after he was getting like trashed by his brother, though, his fake brother.
Okay. No, I didn't see that. Thought I watched everything. Didn't all our regular shows come out this week? Right?
Zom, Bleach, JJK.
JJK and Rurouni, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so yeah, we
Yeah.
don't need to talk
I
about
just
it.
didn't watch Malevolent. I just forgot about Malevolent, but I'll watch it. Okay, so let me see. It's episode 43, Weekend Weebs, September 18th, 2023. I'm Alonzo here, my co-host Jason, and where do you want to start?
We can do Zom since like it's fresh.
Okay.
This was a very straightforward episode. Nothing really happened. They got a new friend, a new character, Beatrice from Germany. Isn't she
Yeah,
German?
she's German.
And they were just on the highway driving. They were just talking about stuff. He was like, "I already completed what, like 16 things out of the 100." They're just joking, and then they see this truck pulled over, surrounded by zombies, and he's like, "Oh, I didn't get to use my shark suit in a long time." Hopped out in the shark suit and kind of distracted the zombies for a little bit, and then Beatrice just kicked the door out in a samurai suit and started slicing a whole bunch of zombies, and they're like, "Whoa, that's super cool." And then she took her mask off and she was like, "Yeah, I'm traveling. I like Japan, and I got a whole bunch of fish that I'm trying to take to this sushi guy because I want to try sushi." And this was like prior to the world ending. I wanted to do this, or the zombie apocalypse. And she was like, "I still want to do it, so I'm gonna take this fish to him so he can cook me an all-you-can-eat buffet of sushi." And then they're like, "That's kind of risky." But Akira's like, "You know what? Your love for Japan, and you seem like a pretty cool person, so we'll help you." And they're just like, "He just wants to eat sushi because this makes no sense." But then they all are like, "All right, whatever, let's go." They go to the town. They realize it's like deserted. There's just zombies everywhere. Kind of like the town they just left. Because they left Tokyo, right? That's where they were
Yeah.
at. And so it was pretty much the same thing. And then they devised this plan to kind of like get them all like trapped in a loop. Basically, what he did at the other place, trap them inside a small area and then blow them up or set them on fire. That's exactly what they were trying to do again. And it was gonna work, but then the matches didn't work, and then they're like, "Well, I'd rather die." Or Akira was like, "I'd rather die than not be able to eat this sushi." So they're like, "Whatever, I'm just gonna hop down and start fighting zombies," so, which made like no sense at all. It was like thousands of zombies, and he was just like, "I'm gonna solo all of them." And then Beatrice followed him down. They started fighting, and then they kind of realized like, "All right, we're kind of getting overwhelmed." Like they were doing a pretty good job, and then I forgot her name. She had already devised a backup plan because she was like, just in case the first plan doesn't work. And she got a drone with the little, what's the name of those? A megaphone.
Walkman, the
It was a
megaphone.
Walkman, but it was attached to a megaphone that was playing music, and it lured the zombies to like this gas station, and they had like all the gas pumps just putting oil and gas all on the floor, and then they were on top of the building and threw a Molotov down and blew them all up. And then they finally were able to make it to the it was actually a lot that happened this episode. I'm not gonna lie, because it was like two things. But they made it to the sushi place, and the guy was still there, and he was like, "Oh, I'm glad to serve you guys." And they were crying. She was crying. She was like, "Oh, it's so good." And then he was like, "I'm crying because you're probably my last customers, and I spent so much time." Like he was like, "I missed my wedding or something like that.
He missed his
His daughter's
daughter's
wedding,
wedding.
yeah, to learn how to cook
And when
sushi."
his wife passed.
Yeah, so he was like, "I'm glad you guys enjoy it so much." And It was like, you guys can eat your fill and let them drink all the sake and everything. And then they ended up leaving. And they were like, you know what? We haven't bathed in a long time. And they were like, yeah, we've been bathing in like spring water and stuff, but it makes you smell all swampy. So they're like, all right, let's go to a hot spring, you know, to relax and clean, you know, clean ourselves. So they go to the hot spring and it seems pretty chill. Like nobody's there. Even though, like, you know, the blood is all over the place, the rainbow blood that shows zombies are around, but it was like no zombies at all. And then they get dressed up into like their robes and stuff. And, they're going to split, like, one's going to go, one group, you know, Akira and Kensho are going to go to the men's section, and then they were going to go to the women's section, but then they realized the hot water doesn't work in the women's section, so they came to their section, and they were like, oh, they were, like, being all, like, not serious at all, you know, like, playful, and then they were like, yeah, the water doesn't work, the hot water doesn't work, and they were like, oh, you know, it's fine, you know, we'll be cool, you know, just bathe with us, basically. And then she was like, nah, yeah, we're not doing that. But the other Beatrice was like, you know, in the past, because she knows so much about Japan or whatever, and they were like, you know more than someone who's from Japan, like, what the heck. And she was like, in the past I used to have basically joint bathrooms or joint springs, like it didn't matter if you were a woman or a man, they just, you know, were in the hot springs together. And then she was like, nah, I don't want to do that. And then the zombies popped up out the ground. Or she was, like, about to hop in, but then zombies just started rising up out the water. And I'm like, how are they? They've been swimming and just, you know.
Yeah, they were swimming around. I don't know.
Yeah, how the zombies are just chilling and they all pop up. And then it's just, like, thousands of zombies following them. They climb up this cliff. And they're like, well, there's no way to get down. And they were all pretty sad because they were like, we just wanted to chill in a hot spring, you know, take a bath, clean. And it looks like we can't, and we got to kind of just wait until these zombies leave. But so they were all like crying and whining, and then they all just end up asleep. But what's her name? Wanders off and finds a hot spring, a natural hot spring. Well, that one's natural, but it was like man-made, like they built around it. But she found a natural hot spring, and then she was just in there. And then Akira woke up, and he went too, and he didn't know she was there. And he was just chilling, and he bumped into her. And she was like, oh, what are you doing here? He was like, what? He was like, that's no, she wanted him to leave. He was like, what? I wanted to be in a hot spring. That's all I wanted to do. She was like, yeah, wow, that's really all he wanted to do. He doesn't really, you know, care about me being here. And then they have like a heart to heart. And yeah, pretty much what we kind of already assume, like they like each other. That's his, you know, the girl of his dreams is going to be her. And then they have like, you know, a good heart to heart, talk about their feelings. And then she's like, you know, he was like, you're being really open right now. And she was like, yeah, I hope that I can find someone I can love who I can be open with like this. And then she was like, actually, I didn't mean that. Not like that. And then he was kind of just like, I'm so in there. And then they show up and they're like, what? There's a hot spring here. And then Kensho was like, when did you guys start hooking up? When did this happen? And they're like, no, that's not what that is. And then he was like, anyway, you know, it doesn't matter. I wanted to be in a hot spring too. And then they both just hop in, and then the episode just ends.
Do you like Beatrice?
Yeah, she's pretty cool. I mean, you know how I feel about fan service characters though in general.
I was thinking the same thing, that there was a lot of fan service, but then I also gotta be fair. That, I don't know. I feel like it wasn't in really like bad taste.
It wasn't bad taste.
It's not hitting like Bleach levels. Fan
service though, yeah. But her, like, aside from her looks and stuff, she seems like a cool character. Like, she's just a super. She's like a weeb basically, but not with anime, just with Japanese culture in general. Which there's a lot of people like that, you know, who like other cultures and they go visit and travel to experience it, and they know a lot about it. So her character's okay.
As soon as she got there, she worked and saved to get there, and then the day she got there, the zombie epidemic started.
Yeah, epidemic started. Yeah.
Do you think that they're actually gonna fall in love?
Probably, yeah. By the end of the show. I mean, they're kind of already there. It's like,
are they?
They're not in love, but you know, it's like they. You can tell it's a.
Think she's something opening up to it.
Yeah. Because she shot him down like straight away. But she was like, that was my past because my dad used to make me not, you know, be able to live the life I wanted to live. So whenever somebody has an opinion, I just shoot them down to justify my opinions. But that's not right.
It's like, what? There's no point in love. You should work all your 20s, yeah, spend it building knowledge.
Work to get
knowledge.
Promotions and then get money. And then, which is also not a bad, like, thing to do. You know, like, in your 20s, you can work, get promotions, get money. And then in your 30s, when you feel like you're financially stable and available, you know, to do stuff, that's also not a bad thing. It wasn't like she was just saying, like, she did say love was pointless. But she was also kind of saying that, like, you know, in your 20s, you can focus on your career. And then once you feel it, like, you're established and stable, then you can look for someone to, you know, join you in life, which, I mean, both ways could be, you know, yeah. It depends on what like you want to do.
There's nothing wrong with that in, like, what's the word? In moderation.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a little extreme to be like, I won't even try to, like, meet anyone at all for my entire 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
Or just, like, turn anyone down, even if there's, like, an opportunity or someone that you do, like, just be like, nope, I'm in my 20s. Like, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But. And Akira, I don't know if, like, I know it's on his list to find, like, his dream girl. But, like, I don't know if she's necessarily special because he's, like, girls.
It's the only girl he's met, yeah. Really. He liked the flight attendant. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, she's the only girl he's met since the apocalypse, for real. Like, and talked to. Aside from the flight attendant.
That's true. And then there's Beatrice.
You know what they say, man. Opposites attract.
I mean, she's kind of not becoming herself already. She was very lax this episode.
Yeah, and she was, like, completely open to going to the sushi place. She wasn't like, this is... She mentioned something about it not being a good idea, but she wasn't like, yeah, we shouldn't do this, like, at all.
Yeah, I feel like her character has already changed. But I don't know if she... It was like, I remember at the beginning we were saying, like, they would kind of affect each other, but I think it's more just... She's changed and he hasn't really changed at all. He's kind of the same. Like, I don't think he's really taking it any more serious, but she's taking it a lot less serious.
Yeah, because he just hopped out and was like, I'm going to try to stop these zombies with no plan.
And then one more thing about this and we can move on because there wasn't really much here. But the symbol monkeys reminded me of Call of Duty Zombies. Like the monkey bombs. Oh,
when did the symbol monkeys pop up?
They were when they were using the drone and attract them to the gas station. There's like a symbol monkey playing. I don't know if it's in the manga though, but it reminded me of Call of Duty. It's probably not even in this chapter. I was like, is that a Call of Duty reference?
This is a good segue into Bleach though. Zombies.
True. True. Already.
Bruh. How do you feel about Bleach?
I think it's kind of a laggy part right now.
I just feel like... I don't know, man. I feel like part one was so much more... I don't know. Serious? I don't want to say serious, but it was less... comedy. And
part one was definitely more serious. It's an anime only thing, but it was in there. Bleach is like core two has been more comedy than core one.
Yeah,
for sure. Like there was no comedy when the Quincy's were attacking the first time.
Yeah, it was just straight death and destruction. And
yeah.
Yeah, now it's like jokey.
Where's my childhood zombies?
I don't know, man. I'm not. It's like every episode is just making me less interested. Like every episode.
So how did you feel about Toshiro
Kizugaya?
Yeah.
I mean, we got an explanation on how he got turned into a zombie. It was like right before he died, she was able to put blood on him to maintain his like flesh. And she was saying like all the flesh and stuff didn't decay because he just died. Like he was at the point of death. So his body didn't decompose or whatever, become fully dead yet, but his mind was already gone. So he's like completely mindless. Which, I mean, makes sense because we kind of talked about that. Remember, I was like, he was knocked out. Like, after that fight, he was just laid out on the ground. So anybody, or my prediction was like, she probably just walked over and was like, oh, this dude is, you know, decapacitated and threw blood on him. turned him into a zombie, which is what she said. That's what happened. So, I mean, that's cool. He showed up. He clapped those two fairly quickly.
I was going to say, this Toshiro fights way better than regular Toshiro.
You think so? But those dudes aren't that strong, so. Right?
No, they're strong. I mean, they're beat up. But, like, this Toshiro is, like, way more savage level. Than the regular Toshiro.
Yeah, but they're not captain level, right? Those two?
No, they're not captain. I'm pretty sure Kaku's assistant captain of squad 11. I'm pretty sure. Kaku's captain level, I would say.
Okay. I mean, I just assumed they were just not trash, but like they were strong enough to fight some people, but they weren't going to go toe to toe with a captain.
Nah.
Like if a captain was going all out, they would just lose. Like no difficulty.
I wouldn't say no difficulty for a Kaku. I'd say mid difficulty.
Okay, that's fair. They were pretty banged up already, so that could assist to why they just got trashed super quickly. He basically killed both of them. Like he slashed through bro. I thought the ball dude was dead, but no, he like stabbed him, messed his leg up. He lost his leg, stabbed him through his like chest and then cut his back and then
that's what I'm saying. Guy, he was a savage, bro. He pulled out the glacier.
Yeah, I mean he's not him though. He's literally a mindless zombie.
That's he stabbed him on like, the ground.
He has no control over his thoughts or anything. Like she has what's her name? Gigi.
Giselle.
She has like full control. Yeah. They were saying Gigi for short in the anime. Like she has full control over him. And she explained that to Yoshimitsu. Like he has no mental capacity whatsoever. He's completely mindless. He was like, how do you find any fun in that? And she was like, I'm a sadist. Like a sadist or a sadist?
She said he's sadist. Not a sadist. She's and not a sadist was, like he is.
Oh, yeah. And he was like, yeah, I find no enjoyment from that. I like my zombies to be able to have the ability to think. And so the dude shows back up, the zesty guy, the zesty Arrancar, and he's like, all right, I got rid of the zombie girl. Now I'm going to get this dude. And he was like, stop, dude. Like, what are you doing? And he just got clapped instantly. Like, no chance. That's what I'm saying. I'm pretty sure he could have got those other two up out of there because they were struggling with the zombie girl. He got the zombie girl, like, done instantly by himself.
Wait, who are you saying they could have got out of there?
The zombie dude, or the Arrancar, the zesty Arrancar, killed the zombie version of the Quincy girl.
Right.
Instantly. And the two of them, the bald guy and the other dude, were struggling to fight the zombie girl alone. Like, it was just her versus them two. And they couldn't do anything with her. But the zesty dude destroyed her instantly. And then Hitsugaya finished him instantly, no difficulty, like, one shot. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think they were going to stand a chance, regardless of if they were hurt or not.
I'll shoot them some bail, because Zesty dude just pulled up and hits a guy like he was just gonna destroy him like he did Bambi, and then he just underestimated him.
So you think it's just the pure underestimation that caused him to die like that?
Because he just pulled up, he's just like, he was just gonna hit him regularly, and he just sliced him. And then he was like, couldn't you tell he's beyond your capabilities? Like, yeah.
But he's saying, like, beyond his... So even if he was trying, I feel like beyond your capabilities means, like, even if you were... Like, this is not a fight you want to pick, even if you were prepared.
Right. And also, I feel like the zombie Bambi is a bad marking for power, because, like, the dog dude had to sacrifice his life to beat her, and, like, and he was a captain. And, what else happened? Shinji was a captain. He couldn't beat her. Who else kind of struggled with her? I don't know who she beat in the first core, if they even showed her fighting. But, like, She was a really strong opponent. I don't feel like Zombie Bambi was the strongest alive Bambi.
So you think it's a weak, like they lose power when they become zombies?
I don't know. I
feel like they're the same strength level, like the same power.
I feel like they are too, but maybe because she's controlling them, it's a little different.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, she's a Stern Ritter, and, like, she beat two captains. Well, she didn't beat the dog dude, but she didn't
die. Just took his, she took his Bankai, right?
Yeah, she took his Bankai the first time. That's true.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. It's kind of weird the power scale, though. Like, these guys got beat by Akaku.
The people that we're talking about, yeah. Yeah. But remember, but he made them stronger. He got them as, like, transformed them into zombies, and I'm pretty sure he made them stronger. Because, like, why else would he bring them out to fight if they can't? If they weren't on the, like, in the past, if they lost to the two dudes, right? Why would I bring them to this battle if the two dudes are losing to someone else? You know what I'm saying? Like, they would be weaker. So I'm assuming he made them stronger or did something to increase their power.
Possibly, yeah. I don't know, man.
And then we don't even see the other two anymore.
Yeah, I don't know where they're at either.
But then he's like, all right, well, I'll handle this. And then he's like, blocking all his attacks. He's like, you're probably wondering how I'm blocking all your attacks and I just sit in a lab all day. It's because I put this sensor on my sword that allows me to detect any move and block it and make contact with the sword so I never get hit, which is pretty sweet. It's like an auto parry. No matter what. And then he was like, based on that information, you're probably going to try to strike me. And then he tried to hit him with like his knee, and then he put like a sticker on him. And then he was like, all right, well, I tricked you basically, and now you're in contact with the sticker thing. And I'm going to give you these drugs, and these drugs are going to make you.
Well, first he didn't explain what they were going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was a trick. That wasn't, or he actually did kill him. He actually did kill him. That's a part of the drug, which is like kind of crazy when you think about it, that he was able to develop a drug that can allow himself to die, but it'll take him back in time.
I thought it was an illusion.
That's what I was thinking too, but he was making it seem like it's not an illusion. He was like, this is a, like, I'm testing this and it will put you back in the past. Cause that can bring like a whole bunch of loopholes to the story and like create timelines and other stuff, which I'm glad the creator didn't go in depth with that, because that could mean a whole set of other things, which, you know, nobody has time for. Cause theoretically, if he's going back in the past, does that mean everybody who's existing in that current timeline is also going back in the past, or is he just going back in the past? And you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, I don't think he went back in the past.
You think it's just all an illusion? That's what I was thinking too. But didn't say that. He didn't say it's an illusion. He was like, whenever you kill me, you'll go back into the past. But the problem with this is that it only allows short-term memory, so you can't remember how many times you've died or killed me and went back in the past. But once you reach 10, like, you know, 10 times, then your body will completely become paralyzed and you won't be able to move, but you can talk. And then that's when he administers the second drug, which is like a fusion of their blood, their original blood, and it transforms the blood that Gigi has put into them to control them, and basically negates her blood and puts their original blood back, like, back into it, and clears her, like, zombie thing, and now he can control them because, like, it's their OG blood and then something else he put in there, and now he has full control over their bodies. But they are fully dead, though. He did mention they're fully dead. He also, like, kind of allowed them to, like, get their memory back, in a sense, because he was like, now you're, because every time he kept killing them, he was starting to, like, conversate back with them. Like, he had a personality, like, he wasn't, you know, a zombie anymore. And then the other three captains who got killed, who was the one, remember, we were like, who was the one that was with them? And we were like, oh, it was the girl. She got clapped. We
were, that's like, they his both assistant cap.
Yeah, so she died as well, and he turned them into a zombie. And so yeah, it was I don't know, it was okay. It was pretty cool. I also feel like this fight was kind of, all these fights have been very lackluster in terms of animation and like what happens, you know what I mean? Like, it hasn't really been a whole lot of back and forth. It's been like attack and then, oh, my trump card, and then the fight's over, you know what I mean? It's not really a whole lot of combat. It was pretty cool when Rukia's brother showed up, though. He actually had some decent combat. He used his Bankai, too.
That was also an anime-only scene.
Oh, really? He didn't.
When he fought all three? Yeah. Like when they didn't show him fighting all three in the manga. Just so they did that all off the dome.
So yeah, that was pretty cool. He fought he made like quick work of them, like instantly. And then the gun dude, the old man with the gun, he used his Bankai on him and just clapped him. And then that's when Pepe or his lieutenant shows up and he's like, "Hey, I took out one." And then he kept trying to hit him. He was like, "Why are you trying to hit me?" He was like, "What? I'm not trying to hit you." He was like, "Yes, you are. Like, you're attacking me." He was like, "Are you really him? Like, are you our enemy in disguise or are you being controlled?" He was like, "What are you talking about? I'm not swinging my sword." And he just kept trying to hit him. And then they were fighting each other for a little bit. And then Pepe shows up. I don't know. These characters are just like getting weirder and weirder. I'm not going to lie. It's just like, what is going on? I think that's why I'm kind of like, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, these characters for me are just like, what the heck? And then he can basically turn you into a zombie as well. Not really a zombie because you're still alive, but he can take control of you and make him fight for his love or something. And then he and it works on anything with the soul. So he deflected it with his Zanpakuto. This was pretty cool though, because now his Zanpakuto is under his spell and he wants to fight for him. So that was a cool twist. It's just that his character Pepe is just like extremely lame, so it didn't make it, you know, as cool. But that idea of being able to possess or control anything with the soul, and then him trying to deflect the attack with his Zanpakuto, and him knowing that his Zanpakuto has a soul, is like, you know, that was a good twist and plot point or whatever. But it was kind of wasted because he ended up winning anyway, fairly easily. I forgot exactly how he won. I think he just... What did he do? He just won. I just remember him winning. He got shot with a blast. It didn't affect him at all. He's just like, whatever. And then he like stabbed. He's put like hearts through him. And then I don't know. I don't remember. I kind of was just like,
these guys pop up. The zombies. Yeah, they show up.
Yeah, Mario met and saved him. And that's what happened. He got saved like at the end.
Yeah.
And then he was like, that's when Rukia's brother was talking to Yoshimitsu like, why didn't you just let them die? He was like, because when you serve the Sarate, or when you serve the Soul Society, even in death, you should protect the Sarate or whatever. He was like, that's just your way of basically rationalizing making this okay. Yeah, rationalizing this. And he was like, well, I mean, you can see it that way, but it's whatever. And so that's pretty much that. And then Pepe was about to get away, but what's her name? Show back up and finish them off. And then we also see her. She died. Technically off screen, it wasn't off screen, but it was off screen. Like, it was off screen, and then they showed us what happened. He explained to her, like, yeah, your zombies are no longer your zombies. I have complete control of them. And she was like, what? And then she just got stabbed and died. And I was like, okay, well, that was very anticlimactic. And so, yeah, I don't know. It's I don't know. It's kind of like, I'm ready to just get back. I'm just ready to get back to Ichigo and, you know.
Yeah, that's what I really want. I'm kind of done with the Stern Ritters because
they don't even seem that strong. Left. Yeah, he left, and now they don't even seem that big of a threat. Like, they're just losing left and right. Like, literally, all of them are just dying.
Yeah, even though all the captains are still underpowered compared to a lot of them.
Yeah, but you got Rukia's brother who just took out three of them easily, light work, and then a lieutenant that took out one. You know what I mean? Like, they got that power up, and it was like, okay, now it's serious. But the power up is still there, I guess. But it doesn't matter; it's not really doing anything.
Like ever since they came down, they've been
beating them. It's just been
And it's kind of like Yawich is gone, so this fight, all these fights, don't really matter that much.
Yeah,
and she just like eats Pepe, and that's it. Yeah, it was all right. I'm not, like, mad at it, per se. I'm just waiting for
more interesting things. It's just, like, I don't know. The past two or three episodes have been very,
Do you have any positives to say?
Yoshimitsu was pretty cool. I like how he tackled...
Why can we keep calling him Yoshimitsu?
Because what's his real name?
His name is Mayuri. I think it's Mayuri. Yeah.
Kurosuchi
Meyer.
So yeah, Kurosuchi, he's pretty cool, but I've always kind of liked his character just because like he's super smart and he creates stuff that, you know, helps the team or whatever, the Soul Reapers, and it's always pretty cool. Like all his gadgets and stuff are pretty cool. So he was awesome. The way he defeated the zombies, which I kind of predict, I felt like that was going to happen. Like he was going to be able to take over, like bring them back in some sense. You know what I'm saying? Like to have them be on their side again.
Do you think they're just going to die though? I can't see them killing off these characters.
I think they're dead. Like they're already dead though. Like they're dead, but they have their memories. Kinda.
But how did they die? Because remember,
I mean, we've seen all three of them die.
No, because the Vibrator Fist and Kira, they lost to the Luchador, but then they were getting healed.
They were in an infirmary, remember?
Yeah.
And that's when Grimmy showed up.
Right.
And he, like, destroyed the room, so I'm assuming they just stopped healing in there, and then what's his name was like, well, this is an opportunity to do some experiments, and just because, you know, like he does stuff without question or asking. He always does stuff that is borderline, it's not even borderline, like it's not right. He does like human experiments, like we were talking about, remember what I was saying,
Geneva Convention. All
the, yeah, like all the rules, he just does whatever. So I'm pretty sure he was like, well, you know, they're probably about to die, like they were probably on the brink of death, and he was like, it's no healing these dudes, let me just turn them into zombies.
Yeah, he's like
that. Because Rukia's brother was like, why didn't you know you could have just let them die? He was like, yeah, but why would I do that? You know, they could still serve us. So.
This reason is weird. I like him more in this arc than I did in past arcs.
You think his reason is bad? I feel like,
I don't think his reason is bad. I feel like in a war like this, everything is kind of on the table.
Another thing I don't like is, like, the Stern Ritters fight amongst themselves all the time.
Yeah, they are fighting each other as well.
Like, that is the dumbest thing to me. And they're all fighting each other because they're like, I want to get the credit for when we take over. Like, if you're all dead, I can be the one that can say, yeah, I stopped all the Soul Reapers. Which, like, makes no sense to me. But.
Yeah, I don't understand fighting each other. But maybe there's something about it with Yawich and who he decides to absorb or something. I don't know. Because one dude, he was like the gun guy before he got into a fight. He was like, I want to get like the credit so I can stand next to Yawich. Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. Yawich. He was like, I'm glad that you two died or something like that, but I'm going to get the credit. Like, I don't know.
That's one of the props. I don't know. Maybe some more positives I could say. I liked Zombie Toshiro. Even though he didn't talk, I feel like that was the best fighting I've seen from him in the entire series. Mm-hmm. That was cool.
The knuckle guy was good too. They gave him a little. Because remember the first time we saw it, he was like, that was kind of eh. But then yeah, he used it on Pepe and it was like, oh, it worked. So it made it look cool.
Okay.
But yeah.
And then my man just gets eaten by a Big Mouth. And that's it. I'm trying to think of some more possible positives, but I don't know. I don't think the animation is bad. I just think maybe saving their efforts for bigger fights.
Yeah, for the big fight, yeah. Like, the animation is never bad, unlike JJK this week. That shit was terrible.
Oh, you thought the animation was bad in JJK?
That was terrible. All that damn blur? Bruh. Oh, my God. And we can talk about JJK, too.
Okay.
Because I feel like this episode was super strung out for, like, the part. Because, you know, obviously we all just want to get to Gojo in the basement or in the subway fighting the main guys. I think this was just a moment to show that Yuji has gotten stronger in this time frame. Because he did make quick work of that, like, grasshopper spirit or whatever. Curse. But yeah. It was just like, I feel like they wasted so much time on that. And the animation didn't look good. It didn't look good at all. Like, it looked terrible. Comparatively to like what we've seen so far.
Okay.
And I also seen a clip. It was a clip on TikTok showing like the actual animation frames before they put the blur and stuff on it. And it looked way better, but the blur made it look so bad. But apparently they got to put blur on like shots like those because in Japan it's like illegal to show stuff like that on TV because it can cause seizures. So they have to blur it so that people don't get like, you know, don't have seizures or whatever. But
that
I don't know.
Sense.
That's what I was seeing in the comments, and I'm not sure how truthful that is, but that's what people were saying.
I don't get how that works either.
Because you got stuff like One Piece, and I feel like you could get a seizure from One Piece more than somebody throwing punches extremely fast on screen. But I'm not a doctor. You know, I don't know the science behind that.
I don't know how that works either. But let me see. So, what all happens this episode? Yuji, we get Yuji in the beginning with Mei Mei, and let me see. With the little kid, what do you think their relationship is? Mei Mei and the kid.
I don't know. That was also weird. They're not related, but she was like, you like to have like work relations that are similar to like families, but I don't know. That was that whole thing. This whole starting part was just like weird. Like, I don't know why they were doing this. I'm like, what is this?
I just want you to guess.
Oh, you want me to guess? Do you know?
Yeah.
Are they like a thing or something?
Just guess. I just want to hear what you think.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. It was very weird vibes. Like, predatory almost. I don't know. Like, I don't know.
It's her younger brother.
Okay.
But in the anime, it doesn't say that.
Yeah, and the way they were talking was very, I don't know, it was like, I don't know, it didn't come off as like brother and sister. Did it come off as brother and sister?
No,
it's yeah,
not weird.
It was probably, more like, oh, it's what you would call it. It's a,
See, more like Twitch creator, like Twitch girl and tier 3 sub.
What's the name of that? It's like a thing, it's a trope in animes where like siblings love their siblings like to a crazy amount, kind of, it's something complex.
I don't know. Is it related to a video he sent me when he said his favorite anime was My sister can't be this cute?
Yeah, I don't know. That's the weird side of, you know, those are the anime people I'm not associated with. When I say I like anime, I'm not one of them. You feel me? I don't know. I don't know what that is. But I think it's, what's the name of it? Because it was this one show I was watching. Mash Burnhead or Mashle. You know what that anime is? It's about like, it's like Harry Potter, basically.
The Magic of Muscles?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so he is a character in there. He has like the same thing. He has blue hair. And they talk about it. Lance Crown. He has a complex. Lance Crown.
Daddy issues?
Mommy issues? No. He loved his sister dearly.
Sister
but it's like
complex?
Weirdly. It's called a... Yeah, it's a sister complex. But, you know, they have the a lolicon.
Okay.
But that's basically what it is. But, like, lolicon is a Japanese term derived from the title character and Vladimir blah blah. In the novel, an older man is sexually obsessed with a 12-year-old girl. From a fictional narrative comes to the phrase Lolita complex and later lolicon to describe an adult controversial fascination with underage girls. It seems like it's backwards, like she's fascinated with her brother, or they're both fascinated with each other, and
no,
it's
sir.
Very weird.
Yeah, and they didn't explain that was her younger brother. They didn't. I was looking for it because like where is it? Yeah, like in this little part, they show this in the anime, and it just said Yu, and it didn't say anything. So I was just confused, like what he is. But it's her younger brother.
So yeah, they're talking, and then Yuji's basically like, he's just in there by himself, and she was like, yeah, but that's why we're here. We're back up. And then they're like, all right, we're going in. She sends her crows out to like scope the area. She figures out there's actually two veils. There's one surrounding the upper level, and then the lower level, and basically we have to figure out how to destroy the upper veil. And they figure out that or they go down, and she's like, hey, you can either kill a whole bunch of like low level curses, or you can fight this one big curse. What do you want to choose?
Or it was transfigured humans.
Yeah, transfigured humans. Yeah. And then he was like, you know, I want to get the big curse. And then she was like, all right. He found a grasshopper, and then they were talking. The grasshopper was really stupid, and he was like, oh, you're smart. I'm smart. He kept saying stuff
He's
about
like, I'm
intelligence.
So clever. He's like, yeah. Are you clever?
And then He's like, all right, you're guarding. He explained what he was guarding, which was like so super stupid. You know what I mean? Like, usually he would just be like, yeah, I'm just here to make sure none of you guys get in. But he was like, no, I'm guarding something super important. And then he realized it was a nail in the ground. And that's the same nail we saw Geto have in his hand after he killed or after they beat, you know, Mekamaru. He had that nail. He was like, I'm almost done with my thing or whatever.
You know what? I think that was all anime only.
With the grasshopper fight?
I think so. I don't see it here.
See? See?
That's crazy.
See? I'm like, bro, this shit is trash. I'm like, what is this? I'm like, what is this?
That's crazy.
So that shit was filler. It was literally filler.
Dang.
Well, that explains why that shit was garbage. And I'm not holding back now. That shit was trash. Like, that shit was trash. Like, I was trying to give it the benefit of the doubt, but now that I know it's filler, oh yeah, that shit was garbage.
I think it was anime only, because the end of this, yeah, I don't see it at all. That happened before they showed the Gojo thing, so.
Yeah, so, yeah, that part was trash. The fight was trash. Like, it literally, I don't know what it was. I guess it was trying to show like how good Yuji was or whatever, but it wasn't that good. But they ended up destroying the upper veil because they broke the nail or whatever, which theoretically means can't people leave now?
Possibly. Honestly, I don't even know how all that veil stuff she was explaining even works. Like, they're saying people were trapped on
the lower level, like it was a lower floor where Gojo was at that we were trapped in. And then it was another veil higher up that was like surrounding the veil that Gojo's currently in. And from what my understanding, they broke the upper veil, like the overarching one. And then this fight was pretty cool. They were like, Geto basically explained to them, like, hey, you guys won't be able to beat Gojo, but there's things we can do to make it so he can't use his abilities to his full capability. And which will give you a chance.
They don't even explain the veil in the manga either.
Yeah. And so they had this whole big plan to basically get all these, you know, innocent people around so Gojo can't use his stuff. Because if he uses it, he'll just kill everybody because he's so strong. Like, if he activates anything, everybody around him will just die.
Which is crazy. This part specifically was really good.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, he thought their plan was like, okay, if I leave, like, y'all just gonna kill everyone, right? And then they opened the lashes, and then I was like, oh, what are they doing? And then they all fall out, and they just start killing them. I'm like, what? Yeah. That was crazy. And then he uses blood manipulation, which isn't that like a clan thing?
I don't know.
I want to know if he's part of that clan. Remember the guy from the school who kind of reminds me of, like, Neji? He followed, like, Megumi and the little, like,
Chunin
Zam
thing. He was using blood manipulation on his arrows, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wonder what that's about. But, yeah, they were just killing people. I was like, what?
I really don't know what this did, though. Like, they were just killing people just to kill them.
I think they were trying to egg them on. But the thing about Gojo, and they were also using, like, domain, like, simple, I don't know if they're simple domains.
It was domain amplification, but they were saying it's essentially like a simple domain that's wrapped around their hands, and if they use it, it can neutralize any cursed technique. So then by them doing that, it neutralizes his affinity for them to be able to touch him. But even though while they were doing it, it seemed like it was struggling to break it, or I think it just neutralizes, so it just stops it, but it doesn't allowed him to make contact, but it breaks the barrier or whatever. And then he was just sitting there like, okay. And he just teleported and he was like, all right. Well, I forgot exactly what he said, but he was basically like, if you guys thought this was going to work, that was kind of stupid. If that's all you like, if this is your only plan.
Yeah, that's what he said. And then the part when they were in the playground was funny too, even though that was also anime only. It was just,
oh, they weren't in the playground here. Oh, no,
nah,
they were just sitting on a stoop.
They were just kind of like in a park by themselves. Yeah. But there weren't any kids. Like, they were like playing with kids.
Yeah, playing
like,
with kids playground. And adults and stuff. Yeah, in the playground.
That was funny.
He was just breaking down, like, give me 20 minutes so I can put him in this internal prison or whatever. And he was like, it's not going to keep him there forever, but it can hold him for a little bit.
Yeah. And then they were saying stuff about, like, domain expansion. Like, he won't use domain expansion because he would have to pick out you specifically, and even if he could do that, people would be trapped in between, like, the outside of the domain and, like, the barrier, and they would be crushed or something like that. There's a whole lot of stuff. And, like, Gojo. The thing is that they're saying is, like, Gojo is handicapped because he's around a bunch of people and he doesn't want to hurt people. But, like, I don't even know if that's the case. He don't even seem fazed by them dying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's just like, okay. Like, obviously he doesn't want him to die, but he's like, well, if it, you know, if it comes to it, it comes to it.
Maybe that's why they showed us that prequel arc. Maybe they showed him he didn't care about civilians that much.
Yeah, he was like, do you want me to kill all of them? Because I don't really care right now. It's like, whatever. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see if he just turns up. I mean, at the end of the day, if he doesn't, they're going to all die anyway, low-key. Like, if they trap him. So, I mean, it's like...
Like, that was sick. That really felt like a horror movie, though, when the little latches open and they start getting pushed. And it was like, no, stop pushing me. Don't push. And then they fell down. That was crazy. Yeah. And MAPPA's doing a lot of embellishing the past few episodes.
Creative freedom.
Yeah. I'm not mad at it, though. Except, I guess, the whole Yuji thing was basically just filler.
The grasshopper fight was... Yeah, like...
I thought it was funny, though. I didn't really think it was good from an animation standpoint. It wasn't that crazy.
Like, it wasn't... That blur shit is not, like, what is this? It was just blurry as hell. I'm like, I don't know, man. I was looking for it. Like, this part, this whole part right here was good, but the Yuji part was, like, and especially for that being our first time seeing him after, I was like, this was kind of underwhelming. But
maybe
then,
that's
why they did it,
because there wasn't much there. Like, literally all they did was, like, introduce Mei Mei and her younger brother, and then they're like, we're going to run. Make sure you catch up. And then it just goes to Gojo. Maybe they wanted to put something
it
there.
It didn't even show her using her crows either in the manga, did it?
Yeah. It didn't.
So, and then that big-ass thing was an axe.
Well, on her back?
In the case, she had it out. She used it when her and her brother went to go fight the transfigured humans.
Oh, really? I forgot about that.
They're like, all right, we're done. Let's check on Yuji. And then they went to go see, and Yuji finished the grasshopper too, and she was impressed. She was like, I'm actually impressed. He I underestimated how good he was, because I guess she didn't expect him to be finished or to be able to finish him off in time before they were done, but he was able to get it done and destroy the nail. Which also was like, I'm kind of confused too, because they were like, we're only sending in Gojo, but then they send in backup too.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Also seen somewhere, I'm not gonna say it, might be a spoiler, but they were saying somebody's not a cool character. I think it was like, they were saying like, you won't like Mei Mei or something like that. I don't know. I could be wrong, but they said like some woman character we're not gonna like. For reasons. So I think somebody is gonna it might be a second rat, low key.
I guess we'll see.
I don't know who though. We'll see. I don't know.
As long as it's not my girl Nobara, I don't care.
So
And that was, you know, you just reminded me of something. I was thinking about, there aren't really many female curses.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking about that one day. I was like, I wonder why there aren't really any female curses. Like, the only one I could really think of is obviously, like,
Rika.
Oh, yeah, who Rika, is, like, a female, but it's like, she doesn't really look like a human, per se. She's just, like, a big white monster. And then that little female curse that Geto summoned when he was fighting Toji. Like, the girl who looked like the Grudge.
It was like, do I look pretty to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those are like the only two I can really think of in like the whole story. So maybe females are less likely to be curses, or maybe he just don't be drawn on.
Maybe people don't manifest curses as women. Because, you know, like, curses are the manifestation of like bad thoughts and stuff. So maybe they just, you know, manifest as a dude, because dudes are... Dudes suck, I guess, yeah.
It's tough out here.
I don't know, if you had a, like, if you were to create a monster, would it be a girl? Like, if you had a bad monster, like, imagination, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, oh, a scary monster or something in the dark, would it be a woman? Probably not.
Probably not, no.
Yeah.
The only ones I could think of was like The Nun.
The Nun, like
The Grudge or something.
Yeah, something like that, but.
Do you think Gojo's gonna kill people?
Oh yeah, for sure. I don't think he's gonna purposely. I don't think he's gonna like purposely.
I've seen this man go insane before, so.
I don't think he'll like purposely kill people, but I think there's gonna be people getting caught in the, you know, in the blast.
I think it would be really funny if they just surprised him. He just surprised them with like, I don't care who dies here. I don't know. Like, I have a hard.
I think he did say he wants to limit casualties, though, right? He did say he want to limit. Didn't he say he want to limit casualties? He said that, though, right?
Or
he just mentioned something about there being a lot of humans or a lot of regular people here.
Yeah, I remember them saying they wanted to lower casualties. Like, the sorcerers wanted to lower casualties. But then you were saying they were mostly talking about sorcerers.
Yeah, they were just talking about sorcerers. Yeah, not really. Humans, which is kind of weird because I thought the whole point of being a Jujutsu sorcerer was to protect non-sorcerers from curses.
It is.
So
at least that's what they teach at the
that's
school.
What they teach, yeah, that's what they say. So, we'll see.
They're crooked cops, who knows. I've seen Gojo go crazy before. So maybe he'll go crazy again. I just really want to see, like, because I really understand why the prequel leads up to where Geto is. I just really want to see what it did to Gojo. But that's all I got for that.
That's about it for me, too.
And then we just got Kenshin in here.
Kenshin was really good. Kenshin's always good.
Banging.
Kenshin's always good. See, I told you it was a good show. You're like, you were saying you don't know if we should add this
in the
one.
Beginning. Yeah,
you were like, I don't know. We should probably. I was like, come on, man, let's give it a shot.
In the beginning, I was a little iffy about it, skeptical. But it's gotten good. I'm trying to figure out. Okay, somewhere over here. Wind of Rage, Assault. Okay. I think it's in here. So this one is mostly just the fight with this guy, Kenshin.
Yeah. He took his mask off, the Kenpo master.
So then, I'm sure, what was his story? Like, he used to be an assassin.
He came from a village that was, like, terrible. It was, like, poor, and parents would literally kill their kids to get food. A whole bunch of basically he just came from a terrible place. He became a assassin and came across the leader, and the leader was like, "You're pretty good, you're pretty strong, I'll take
you."
He
was
in.
With
you
the imperialist, right?
Yeah, or it was either him or the other guy was with the imperialist, the second guy they fought.
Okay, yeah, I think that's
but
what it was.
He was just like assassin and just kind of trash, like, yeah. And so the leader of the group, the Imawabe, is that what it is? Whatever. The group leader.
Whatever they are.
Their group, yeah. Their group. He was like, I'll take you in. And he basically was like, he saved my life. And then he turns into Wolverine. And I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, what the heck? But Kenshin broke his mask. And then when he broke his mask, he was like, you have this mask on to, you know, and to strike fear. And to hide your face or whatever. He was like, really? I don't wear it to like put fear in my opponents or whatever. I wear it because to like cover my face. And then he was saying that he literally ripped off his cheekbones, his skin, and his lips and his eyes and his ears to literally put faces over his face to impersonate anybody. That's what he did to what's her name when he was that old man. So it wasn't like a trick. He just put that dude's face on his face.
Like his skin? Is that the interpretation?
Yeah, he took his skin off and put it on his face. Which is pretty gross. And he was like,
I would have rather it just been a magic trick than
that. He was like, I can basically impersonate or become anyone. And then also Kenshin figured out his trick or his spell, which isn't really a spell, it's just an optical illusion. He put stripes on his arms.
I thought that was a shirt, but it was tattoos.
Oh, they're tattoos? I thought it was a shirt too.
I'm pretty sure he said they're tattoos. Or Kenshin said that.
Okay. I just know he was like, you got stripes on your arms to like for an optical illusion so people can't tell how far your arms are like when you punch, and they also make them look bigger. I thought he was saying that because like he was saying you're weak, you're not strong, you're not a super strong dude, and you do it so you can't so people can't know how far your arms are away from him, since he's like a hand-to-hand combat person. If you can't tell his reach, then he can get closer and get farther, you know, and connect hits or whatnot. So they're fighting, and then he's like, you'll never be able to beat me, basically. And then they do the little, like, you know, the traditional anime slash where they go past each other, and then nobody gets hurt. And then they're both just sitting there to see who got hit first. And then Kenshin got, like, a little flesh wound on his arm. And then the other dude was like, you'll never be able to beat us if you can't even get past me. And then his Wolverine claws just break, and he just falls down and is knocked out. And then they're like, all right, on to the next guy. And they're like, are you okay? He's like, yeah, it's only a flesh wound. And the wound's already stopped bleeding or whatever. Let's get over to, let's go to Megumi or whatever. That's her name, right? Megumi?
Yeah, it's Megumi. And then the JoJo guy pops up.
Yeah.
He reminds me of the JoJo character.
Yeah. And then Sanosuke's like, go ahead, I got this guy.
I'll take him.
And then they fight, and Sanosuke was losing at first.
Destroyed.
Yeah, he was getting trashed. And then the dude was like, dang, you absorb my head, but you're pretty strong. You know, you should join us. We can give you these steroids, and it'll boost up your power. Basically, that's what he said. Like, we can give you this steroid, and it'll make you infinitely stronger. That's what they did to me. I was with the Imperialists, and the captain beat me at the age of 13. And he was like, you're pretty strong. You should join our group, and we can give you this elixir, and it'll make you stronger. And he was like, nah, I don't really think that's for me. And he was like, the problem with you guys, you're just a group of strong dudes. You guys have no real reason to, like, be a group other than to fight
people. Just to fight people.
Yeah, just to fight people. And he was like, Kenshin isn't like that. He fights to protect, and he never fights battles that are, like, for him. He only fights other people's battles for them, to, like, save them. And then he was like, I was giving you props. You didn't accept. Whatever. And then he just kept headbutting him, like, 30 times in a row, and his head was just gushing, like, crazy.
I don't understand why he sat there and took that when he was stronger than him the whole time.
Yeah, the whole time. And then he broke his hands and then punched him in the face, and then he was just knocked out. But Sanosuke was like, dang, how many more guys are there? And then he just passed out too. And then he had a memory of his old, that was the captain, right? The guy who got his head chopped off?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so...
I like that fight. I just hate that he sat there and took all those hits when he was stronger than him the whole time.
Stronger, yeah. Or I think he just got that a boost of strength. I don't know. You know the anime thing. Just random boost of strength on the brink of death.
Like, he let himself get headbutt way too many times.
And then they push up, and Kenshin confronts the leader. He's like, let me through. Tell me what Megumi is. He's like... Did what's his name just let you through and step aside? No, so why would I? And then they just stare at each other. And then he looks at his sword, and he's like, he didn't say anything, but I'm assuming that sword is from some era or something like that, because he looked at his sheath and it was like, dang, that's a... I don't know. They emphasize his sword though, his katana. And then the other guy was saying if he was around when Kenshin was around, he would be Kenshin, or like he would be the Batsou Sai or whatever. Like the stories would be about him.
In the area?
Yeah. He was like, if he was in the area, the stories wouldn't be about Kenshin. It would be about the leader. That's what he was saying to Sanosuke.
Yeah, I guess we're going to see.
Yeah.
How tough this dude is. These guys weren't even in
I kind of want to know what his purpose is. It just seems like he just gathers the band of misfits, like people who don't really have a home, and they just
give them steroids, fight,
give them steroids and have them fight and set them up with jobs. Like, he's a mercenary, you know, like he's just a hired gun. But also, he didn't give the dude the key when he was like, you should just kill yourself. But he lied because he didn't give what's his name that key to get inside the room.
Yeah.
So why did he say that?
I assume, I remember that part too. I thought maybe just after an hour. That would be the case. I'm not sure, honestly.
I guess he wanted her to think about if she really wanted to kill herself or not. But the dude, and then the guy was banging on the door. He was like, hey, we can escape. We can leave together and start a new world, and we can create actual medicine that'll help people. And if we leave now, they won't be able to find us. And then she was like, I'm done with your lies. And he was like, all right, fuck you. Are yes, you... please, please. He was like, you're a terrible person. This is all your fault. You made the whole thing. You killed all those people. Yeah, like, what the heck, bro? And then he was like banging on the door. The door wouldn't open. Then he went back downstairs. So I think he's about to just watch those two fight or whatever.
Yeah, this is the last fight. I thought there would be more obstacles.
But... yeah, same. I thought there was going to be more people. Because they didn't even show the nail guy. The dude that shoots the... watch the kid clap him and get revenge because he poisoned him. Watch that'd that be that fight. Like, he gets to fight the dude that shot him in the hand. Because that's the only guy that's left.
I feel like this kid is just going to be in the way.
I kind of do, too. But we'll see.
I can see a hostage situation coming.
That probably is going to happen. The guy's going to show up and hold him hostage while Kenshin's fighting the leader. And... because that dude seemed really desperate. He was like, I can't mess up anymore. No more mess ups.
Yeah.
So he would probably do something drastic like that. I'm sure this
dude
isn't
going to show back up. Like the red dude with the fire. I don't think he's going to pop back up.
Yeah, he's
knocked out.
Yeah. Yeah. He's gone. With the flint teeth.
Rurouni Kenshin. Do you think, how long do you think the fight will last?
I think it'll be...
I said two. Episodes.
Oh, you think it's gonna be two episodes? I think it'll be done next episode.
Really? There's so much build up for this fight.
Yeah, but you gotta think a whole episode of fighting is crazy. Like,
that's true. But with flashbacks,
flashbacks. Yeah, to fill in the gaps, yeah. But I think it'll be all the way up until the commercial break. You know how the show's like the black screen and the red text?
Yeah.
I think that's when the fight will be done. So it'll be like the first 10 to 12 minutes, but it'll be flashbacks included. And then when the fight's about to end, it'll do the commercial break thingy.
I feel like Kenshin's probably going to win.
I think this will be his toughest fight yet. I think it'll be super close.
Okay. I guess we'll see. What was your episode of the week?
Probably Kenshin.
My episode of the week. What do we have? Zom, Kenshin, JJK.
Bleach.
Why do I keep Bleach. I keep forgetting Bleach. My episode of the week is probably JJK. Just specifically the train part. Or the railway part was good. Moment of the week. Probably Zom. When they were, what are they doing? When they were first getting in the hot springs, that little part was funny. When Akira and Kensho got in the hot springs.
And then they were like doing laps.
Yeah, and then they were looking. Yeah. And then the girl was like, the woman's one isn't working. And then they both like posed for a second.
Yeah, they were like got super serious, like, oh yeah, you know, don't mind us. That was funny, yeah. I agree. I think that's mine too.
And then Shizuka or whatever was like, dang, like, I'm not getting in there. Like, I'm too shy. And the other girl was like, but back in the day, there were mixed baths. And they were like, oh, that was funny.
Yeah.
And then animation of the week.
I would say probably Rurouni
Kenshin, yeah.
Yeah.
But when Toshiro was fighting Bleach, that was good to me, too. But altogether, yeah. I would say Kenshin. I really thought that, what's his name? Sanosuke and the guy with the chain. I really thought they were going to actually have, like, a chain match.
Because
they reminded me of Black Clover. I don't know if you went that far in Black Clover, but have you ever seen Magma's ultimate move in Black Clover? Do you plan on reading or watching Black Clover?
No.
Okay. Well, Magma, you know Magma is the guy with the baseball bat and the glasses.
Yeah, yeah.
So his ultimate move in, Black Clover, because he was like super weak and he wanted to catch up to people, but like obviously he wasn't that like talented. He came up with this ultimate move where like it's like a chain that connects him and like his opponent, and like it splits their magic energy in half equally. Mm-hmm. So they both have the same magic energy, and like you can only use, like, you're just stuck together until one person like dies, and all you can do is like punch.
or like kick. Like you can only use physical attacks, and it's just like a, like basically like a chain death match, like punching each other, like who's gonna go down first. Yeah, basically, like that's how he like equalizes fights when he's fighting people that are like way stronger than him. So that's, I thought they were just gonna have like a chain death match, but the way it went was cool too. And that's all I got for this week. Predictions. Yeah. I think Gojo's going to kill civilians.
My prediction is I think Gojo will try as hard as not to have anybody on the outside die, but you know, it's going to happen. And then he's going to get trapped in that little prison thing.
You think Yuji's going to fight Mahito?
Yeah, he's the only person that can fight him.
Why you say that?
From Gojo. Because if he comes in contact with anybody else, he can transfigure their soul.
Oh, you're saying no one else is skilled enough to fight him?
No, no. I'm saying, like, nobody can touch him. Like, you have to fight him with attacks that can't come in contact with his body. You have to use a weapon. Because if he touches you, he can get to your soul.
Yeah. There's people, there's other people that could do that.
Like who?
Nanami, Megumi, Nobara.
Yeah, but Nanami could, Nanami's good because, you know, those two fought him together and he was like trashing him. But I think he, but he's also, Mahito's leveled up too from since that, you know, that was when he was like first born. Now he has like a full grasp on domain expand, like, and even then he had Nanami and Yuji inside his domain. And the only reason they got out is because what's his name? That's what I'm saying. It has to be Yuji because Sukuna's not going to let him touch his soul, like no matter what, like. True. He can't use that because as soon as he was like, if you touch my soul, it's like I'm killing, like it's it's over. Like, don't, you know, like you can do whatever you want, but if you try to touch my soul, I will kill you. So that's why I think Yuji is the number one, because that negates his whole transfiguration thing, because Sukuna won't let it happen.
Yeah, so I guess he can only use, like, Mahito can only use like physical attacks against Yuji.
Yeah,
and Yuji's pretty tough, but I guess we'll see. I would like to see that rematch.
And you know he wants to get that he's trying to up the score, man, because he killed his mans.
He did.
He killed his mans, bro.
RP Junpei.
He was about to join the school and everything.
He did have he a just, whole like
he was in the intro,
back, but like
he was
flash
in the
forward.
Intro. Bro, they had him in the intro. I don't know if you watched the intro of that season. But he was there, like in the uniform and everything with Yuji, yeah, with all of them. And then he just got transfigured into a giant like hippo thing and died.
Junpei got turned into a hippo. That's fine. R.I.P. Junpei. Okay. Well, that's all we got for this week. Thank you for tuning in to episode 43. Leave a rating, follow on social media, Weekend Weebs on everything. Peace out.
Peace. No work today?
Nah, not on Mondays.